Hey everybody, welcome back to the podcast. Tonight is show number 4 and we have a special guest with us, Mr. Snaps, Mark Snaps. So that means we have two Marks on the show tonight and we're going to be discussing some gear, going over an email we received with possible show ideas and a few follow-ups from last week's episode about filters. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the show. This is week number 4. Mark, how's it going?
Oh, good. Thank you.
Yeah. Awesome. We have a guest with us this week. Tonight, we have from Instagram, Mr. Mark Snaps. Mark, what was your last name? I don't even ask you your last name.
Oh, last name is Dalal. It's not an easy last name to pronounce. So
Dalal?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're going to call you Mr. Snaps tonight so that we don't get you and the other Mark mixed up and
sounds good.
Keep it straight. So how have you I've been following you on Instagram for a while and we started talking. Just you were asking some questions about Pinhole, so why don't you tell us a little bit about what you've been doing with Pinhole and what you've been shooting with?
Well, I started off a while back with a Zero Image 2000. And then Andu had their Kickstarter, and they had that multi-format. And I've always wanted to shoot, you know, panoramic.
Right.
So, you know, I bought into the Kickstarter, and then when I got my camera, you know, I let go of the Zero Image, and then I got that. And started off shooting, you know, kind of more in the field, like walking out to, you know, when we had the Blue Bonnets show up, or kind of walking around kind of the neighborhood.
Sure.
And Pinhole is one of those, it's a type of photography I really have to challenge myself to do, because I'm not a tripod person, you know, and so
right.
It's one of those things where I look at different kinds of different types of photography and I'm like, all right, what can I sort of really try to get out of my comfort zone, try to do something different. And one of the things I've been really toying with and have kind of recently started to do is shooting kind of indoor. I've always seen some of those pictures of people will set up a pinhole like at the dinner table. And so recently I've been doing that around the house, just setting up the pinhole. I did 2 sessions of recording a developing. So I set it up in the kitchen where I do developing and kind of did about a 25-minute exposure. And we'll kind of see how ghostly that looks.
Cool. When are you going to develop that?
Well, so I've only got 2 shots in.
I got
and
you.
And I'm doing it as that's the nice thing about the multi-format. You can do 6x6, 6x9, 6x12.
Sure.
So this time around, I'm doing it 6x9. I found the 6x12 a little difficult to scan. So I guess whenever I finish, I'll send it out and get it
developed. Yeah. As soon as you get it developed, if you want to, send us a copy of the one you developing your film at your thing, and we'll put it up on the show so everybody can see it.
For sure.
Yeah, that'd be cool. What kind of film have you been getting into? Are you still kind of like floating around and trying different stuff, or are you pretty much got something that you already shot before from doing any other sort of photography?
So the first few times I did, I started off with Pinhole. I started off with Delta 100.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that Pinhole Assist app is wonderful. I don't know if you guys use that one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. So it gives you the reciprocity calculations, and it's got that built in. And Delta 100 was really all over the place. So I would get some exposures that were up to an hour. And so I'm like, all right, well, I'm just going to walk away now.
Yeah, right.
And so I switched over to Acros, and I think it has like a 2-minute. Somebody on Twitter corrected me and said it was a 3-minute. But you can go up to about 2 or 3 minutes without a reciprocity correction, which
sure.
is great. And so that's the main one I've been using. And I've also, when I've gone outdoors, I'll use Ektar 100. I really like that film. It's very colorful and
yeah,
real nice and just beautiful tones.
Mark, you use a lot of Ektar, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah, I've pushed acros even farther than that. I mean, I've done 8 or 9, 10 minute exposures before with neutral density filters during the day. But I'm going to start crying now because we don't have it anymore now.
That's a
great. Well, it's not we don't have it anymore.
I know. I'm just picking. Hey, I'm set. I'm set for the rest of my life. I think I have 3,000 rolls in my freezer. Oh my God. No, I'm just joking. I don't have 3,000 rolls.
It's the bank of Across.
I don't. My wife wouldn't let me. She would cut it off way before then, I'm pretty sure.
But think of all the money you could make, you know, when everybody starts running out.
Yeah, I'll show my kids one day. I'll be like, "Hey, man, this is you guys' college fund right here." So, guys, treat it with respect, you know. That's pretty cool. Did you keep your zero image camera, or did you let it go?
I let it go just because, you know, with the Ondu, I can do 6x6.
Sure,
it's got the movable frame guidelines. So,
yeah, how does that? It's just those little slats of wood. You can just pick them up and move them over.
Pretty much.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So, you're based out of Dallas, right, Mark?
That's right,
Mr. Snaps.
Yeah.
And so, tell us a little bit about if we came to do the photo walk, can we do pinhole on the photo walk?
Yeah, so, you know, me and Mr. Holga started Dallas Photo Walk about 3 or 4 years ago, you know, to coincide with a worldwide photo walk day. And I think because of who we are and kind of our presence, we do attract a lot of film photographers. But right. We got all kinds. So, you know, if you come to one of our photo walks, there'll be people who use the Fujis. There'll be film shooters. I mean, we've had people show up with, you know, Mamiya RZs and RBs and, you know,
nice.
Yeah, all manner of film camera. And we even did one where between us, we brought a bunch of Holgas and, you know, we said, you know, bring your own film. And we supplied everyone with a Holga camera. And
that's fun.
Yeah, we walked around and took, you know, pictures with Holgas. And but, you know, everybody, basically. We have people who just have regular, you know, digital SLRs with the kit lenses.
Sure.
And, you know, 35 millimeter SLRs. I think I've brought a pinhole on one of our walks. But yeah, anything goes.
Hmm.
That's cool.
That's awesome. And that's been going on for, you said, 4 years?
About 3 or 4 years now. We've been doing the photo walks, and we do one about every 2 months. We'll set up a formal one. And then sometimes in the middle, you know, if something's going on and Mr. Holga, his name is Michael. And Michael and I want to just kind of do our own walk, and we want to invite people. We'll do what we call impromptu walks. And then we'll post up a quick thing on Facebook and Instagram. And it's essentially like, well, if you want to come with us, you know, come on. And we'll go out and shoot. And we've done them all kinds. We've done photo walks at car shows. Sometimes we'll just go down like to some place in Dallas or some place in Fort Worth. And we've done a couple where we've actually gone all the way down to Waco, where we kind of caravan. And it was about, you know, an hour and a half drive.
Right.
We went in a couple of weekends out in Decatur, you know, and so we'll probably all meet out there. Texas has this great kind of downtown square concept. So a lot of times we'll meet, you know, in a place like McKinney or Denton or Decatur or Waxahachie, and we meet, and there's a downtown kind of county courthouse, and there'll be all these cute shops around and
a fountain
or two.
Right.
And we'll kind of walk around, we'll walk the square, and usually Michael and I will kind of recon it first. And, you know, so we can guide folks around.
Right.
And then we try to find a place where there's a, you know, one or two options for lunch. Sit down for lunch and just sort of get to know each other, talk photography.
Right. Like that. Are you, so you're developing at home. How are you getting along with that?
I've been developing. I mean, I started photography in 99, so I've been developing, for a really long time.
We need to talk to Mark about it so that we can get him on board with doing it, because he's not doing it.
It's really easy. I taught my 11-year-old stepdaughter how to do it, and it was no problem. So
see, Mark, 11-year-old Mark, no, I'm speaking.
Yeah.
Hey,
a little bit of public shaming, you know.
No.
Yeah. Well, I have a question for you, Mr. Snaps. Sure. There's a certain actor / celebrity in Denton, Texas. Have you ever gone on any of your one walks?
So this is an interesting thing. We were supposed to do a walk. We were supposed to do the walk out in Waco, and we had a rainy weekend, so we canceled it. Like, I don't mind going out and shooting in the rain, especially with a Holga. I don't care. You know, they're cheap plastic cameras.
Right.
So we said, well, let's just kind of, you know, we blocked out the day. Let's just kind of go look around. And so we went to Denton, and we were just sort of walking up and down. And I hear this familiar voice say, "Hey, what are you guys shooting?" And sure enough, it was Jason Lee. And,
oh, wow. That's awesome.
He recognized, you know, our cameras and invited us into his studio and showed us his collection. And I think I might have had my Zero image there. And I think I plopped it down on, you know, his desk where he has his cameras and took a shot of all of them together.
Cool.
He showed us his 20x24 Polaroid camera.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I have heard he is kind of friendly to other photographers if he sees you out there yourself.
Oh, totally. Yeah, he's really friendly. And we talked shop for a little while. And he has, at the time, had this vast collection of Polaroid film in large format.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's really, really very nice guy.
I had his model, his skate deck model when I was younger. Because he used to be a pro skater back in the day. And that's where I know him from, is from the skateboarding world.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think he shoots a lot of movies, shorts with skateboarding.
Super 8 or something, I think. Something like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I myself was a skater at one point and used, like, when he was back with Blind Industries.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then there was his acting, and then I found his work on Instagram with photography. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
I tried skateboarding, but I met a brick wall, and that was that.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah. I dislocated some knees, so I don't do that anymore either.
I got lucky. I never broke any bones. I still skate, though, actually. I'm still out there rolling around a little bit. I'm not going crazy like I was when I was 17, but I still got a skateboard, man. I still go to the local park and push around and get some little scratch grinds in here and there, you know.
Yeah,
keeps my legs nice and trim, you know. So cool. So yeah, so that's awesome that you're developing and that you're getting along with Pinhole, because we like everybody to be into it, you know.
I really like when I started out, I think as most people do, you sort of really want to take as sharp a picture as you can. You know, at least back in the day, you know, I'd look at popular photography and you'd read the tests and this lens is sharp. Oh my goodness. You know?
Right.
And I went through, I think, you know, lots of gas and bought into almost every, you know, brand, and then, you know, tried to get better by cameras and not really like effort. And,
sure.
And then eventually got tired of that. And I find now I prefer shooting stuff that, you know, is going to be more soft and sharp. And so like I'm really attracted to the Pinhole, really attracted to the Holgas.
Yeah.
You know,
I can understand that.
Gas has been depleted.
Yeah. Right.
You know, and now I kind of like that fuzzy, sort of more ethereal look in the images, and Pinhole is really good about that.
Yeah,
and that's
totally
a big draw for me. And it, yeah. And it's a challenge, like I said earlier, you know, because it, you really need a tripod, and that it's, I have to like really force myself to take a tripod. Like, okay.
Yeah.
Take it with you.
But you know what? One thing that I started doing, I went through that same phase too. And I think Mark has gone through this phase a little bit lately too, maybe. But going somewhere, don't bring it with you. Don't purposely bring your tripod. Leave it at home, and make yourself use the ledge or the ground, mm-hmm. or the edge of a pole or the top of a light box, or the top of a post office box, or set it, your camera all the way down on the curb, you know, and like, because it'll kind of change you. Because you get in that comfort zone with your pinhole and a tripod like you do with a conventional camera, where everything is, you know, chest to chin high, you know, you're looking at that angle with it, you know, but you got to be able to kind of like work with whatever you have, you know. So I've gotten to the point now to where like I won't bring it unless I just know I'm going to be doing something with like neutral density filters, really long exposures. I'm going to have it, you know what I mean, type of situation. Out and about in the town, I don't even bring one anymore. You, Mark?
Most days I have a like a 6-inch tripod that I just, you know, it's not attached to the camera. And if I, you know, if I need it, then I'm using that 6-inch just to, you know, stabilize the angle or anything like that. But mostly, yeah, I'm like you, I don't carry a 3-foot, a 4-foot, you know, tripod most of the time. I did on a little trip this past weekend, but again, it's the 6-inch, and I'm looking for sitting on top of a car, or, mm-hmm. you know, it's on the ground, whatever.
I do have a little tripod, like the one you're talking about, like a little, it folds up.
Yeah.
Like the legs are like kind of like an L shape, and they all fold into each other. But when you open it up, it's about ground. I'll have that with me sometimes just in case, like I needed to stay out of a puddle.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. I mean, and I'll use that, but that's probably just about one of the best things I think I ever did was just leave my tripod and not even bring it. So.
Yeah. I know another photographer. She doesn't really carry a tripod with her pinhole. She just goes for it.
Just goes for it. Yeah.
Just kind of sets it on things.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Or you could be like, what was his name? Justin Quinnell, and just, he puts his little pinholes in his mouth.
Yeah. Yeah, I really
have you seen those? Yeah. Have you seen those Mr. Snaps, those that series that he did?
I have not, no. I know that
you should look
guy,
him up, man.
I think his name is John Wilkening.
Yeah,
yeah.
He does handhelds.
And then it seems like he kind of just walks around holding one.
Yeah.
And his shots are like, you know, pretty blurry.
Mm-hmm. I do that same thing too. But I've got a little series that I've been working on forever. It's like an ongoing thing, but I call it pedestrians, and I carry mine with me, and I do the same thing. But instead of walking with it, I'll just stand still, and when people come walking by, I'll have my finger over my pinhole, and the shutter will be open, and I'll open it, and I'll just kind of turn about 10 degrees and then close it. And I found that when I do that, it kind of makes, instead of it being like an up and down motion of like a vibration from it, it kind of gives it more like a kind of like a pulled. It just makes like ghosty kind of pulls on me, you know. It's kind of hard to explain, but it's fun. I like doing that too, because for me, just the constant tripod thing, man, I have too much of my attention span is too short, and I'll get lost.
Yeah, I didn't know tripod for a while, but then when you have once my kid was like able to reach the table and shake the table all the time.
Oh yeah, right.
I stopped that one, but yeah.
Yeah, right.
Oh yeah, because you have little ones. Like from the late 90s. It's like got aluminum legs. It's incredibly heavy. So I bought one of those small little. I think it's like a Manfrotto, and it, like the legs fold up. But it's really only about 3 or 4 inches tall.
Yeah.
Right. I just got a new tripod the other day, actually. Remember the picture that Dan put up, Mark, of the of that crazy contraption tripod he had?
Yeah.
It was like, it looked like a crane or something. It was weird, yeah. But I had that same day or the day before, maybe I had used my tripod and the quick release plate on top, the little button just totally died. And I was just like, oh man, I need a new tripod. So I ordered another one, but that one I had was I think it was a Giotos. And I've had that for a long time too. And it finally just died. So I was like, okay, yeah, time for another one. So, all right. Well, hey, we're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
Oh, welcome back. It seems we have a lot of people who are interested in us talking about the gear we're shooting, what we're shooting, and a little bit about our films. So we're going to continue that. Corey, you want to talk about what you've been up to lately, gear-wise, what you've been shooting?
Man, this last week, I had a lot going on. I shot my Holga with Rolly Infrared, and then I shot my pinhole camera with the Japan Camera Hunter, the Street Pan 400, and I shot that with my R72. So that was pretty cool. And I put a picture up on Instagram. That picture I put up on the back of the shed, it's called Henry and His Ladder. That was with that. So I'm going to do some more tests with it, hopefully when it gets warmer and a little bit hotter and brighter, and see how it does. But I liked how it looked. It's definitely going to work for doing infrared. I think the Rolly infrared goes a little bit farther into the infrared spectrum than the JCH does, but I think they're both going to work. Let's see, what else did I do? I went and shot my 5x7 Ondu pinhole camera at a local historical spot. It was called a place called Fort Macon. And I shot a roll of Ilford Pan F Plus that you told me to shoot, yeah. Mark. Trying to get around, the Akros fiasco that's going to be going down, and trying to find something else to jump into and figure out to start shooting, you know what I mean? Because it's going to be going away whenever, however. So I shot that. I really like that film.
Good.
I think that it seems like it has a little bit higher contrast than the Fuji does.
Yeah.
The shadows seem to like dark and block up a little bit faster. Mm-hmm. But when I shot it, I was out at high noon almost, So, I mean, anything you shoot is going to have a lot of contrast in that situation. You know what I mean? It's
what's your developer with that?
I'm using Xtol.
Okay.
Yeah. And I did, what did I do for that one? I think I did 1:1. I did a 1+1 mixture. But when I developed my 5x7s, I did Xtol 1+2. But they said that you're not supposed to do that. And I see why, because I kind of got some streaky, uneven development with it. Doing it like taco style in a Patterson tank. That was the first time I have done that, and I did it with the hair ties. And from what I read, everybody says that you don't get hair tie marks on them, but I got hair tie marks on mine, so I was kind of bummed out about it. But so I don't think I'm going to do that anymore. I think I'm going to go straight back into just doing tray development in the dark. That's the easiest way. I think I'm going to be able to do it, because the tank that I'm using holds 1,100 milliliters of developer. At 1:1, that's still 550 or whatever milliliters. So
that's a lot of chemistry.
That's a lot of chemistry, especially if you do it in the trays. You only need like 200 or 300, maybe 400. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I don't think I'm going to go back to doing the taco method. I think I'm going to just kind of jump over that and go straight into doing trays.
I think I recall developing a roll of Pan F, and I used Ilford Perceptol.
I haven't used Perceptol yet. Did you like it?
I liked it. I feel like it gave you just a little bit more control over the highlights.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out pretty well. And then I used it with some Kodak, the BWXX film, the movie film.
I haven't used any of that yet either. Yeah. Is that the Rimjet? That's not the Rimjet, is it?
I don't think it has a
Rimjet. That's the XX, right?
Yeah, the XX.
Yeah.
I got you.
And I did not like how that turned out. It kind of felt like a bit clumpy. The grain was a little bit clumpy. Though people really liked, I posted up, you know, a bunch of the pics, but and people liked them. But like when I scanned it and, you know, Pixel Pete, yeah, I just wasn't that thrilled with it.
Right.
But I did like how it made PanF look, and Perceptile's pretty cheap. As developers go.
Does it come like the HC110 and like a concentrate? You just use a really small amount and you mix it by batch, or do you have to, you know, do like
I think it was a powder. So,
right.
Yeah. And I'm not a big fan. You know, I like the liquid concentrate.
Yeah. Well, I started doing, I've always used D76, but I used Diafine for a while and Xtol, and everything I read about Xtol said that it was the sudden death of Xtol, you know, like it all of a sudden would just not work one day. And I don't know, I guess I just used it up fast enough not to worry about it. But when I mixed it up, I had 2 1-gallon jugs because you get 5 liters out of it.
Right.
I think it is. And I put it all in one. When I split it up, I took a piece of plastic from like a Ziploc bag and put it over top of the bottle and screwed the lid on. So it kind of just helped keep the air out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have any problems with it. I mean, it kept for a long time. And every time before I developed, I would take a little tag, you know, like whenever I cut my 120 reels off, I'd save a little piece and I would test it, you know, before I did it. And I didn't have any problems with it. I like the Xtol. I like it a little bit better than D76. I don't know what it is about it. It has just a little bit different look, but.
I think Xtol is what the darkroom uses, and definitely feel like the stuff I get back from them as when I send it out, it'll have like a nice snap to it.
Yeah, the Fuji Akros with that Xtol is great. That's one of the things that bums me out about what's going on with them is, you know, when you shoot with a film for a long time, and you find a developer that you like with it, and you find a paper and you're printing on a paper or whatever your system is, and you like that, and you're getting consistent looks with what you're doing with your photography, trying to build something like long term. Like a long-term project, you know, I mean, that's the biggest thing that bums me out is, I mean, I understand them going away, whatever, you know, it's business, you know, but now it's kind of like, oh, I've been shooting with this for 6 or 7 years now straight. And, you know, now it's kind of like, I feel like I kind of got to like start over, you know what I mean? But yeah. I mean, it's how it is and that's okay. It'll be fun. But if they're not, like everybody says, they don't want to support, you know, the community, then hey, Ilford and Kodak are there ready to send you whatever you need, you know?
Yeah. I think for Pinhole, you know, as mentioned earlier, I think the loss of like a really nice kind of reciprocity response is the only outside of that. I mean, Akros, I don't know. I feel like Delta 100 looks great. T-Max 100. Sure. They look good, you know?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So
there's something out there. You're just going to have to spend some time and have some losses and have some wins until you find something that you like, and it might have to change your developer or find something different. See, you know?
I won't even tell you my favorite developer for Akros.
Why?
Is this running out? You know, what's the point now?
Yeah, right. That's true. Not if you have 7,000 rolls of it in your fridge, freezer. You don't have to worry about it. Mark, what did you do? You took a trip, didn't you, Mark? Where'd you go?
Yeah, I was going to go up to the mountains and the weather shifted. So I went down to Charleston, and I took the Schlemm's the Laboratories little 3D printed Oscar, which is like an F135, and then because it's so bright down there at the shore, I took the Zero Image 6x9, which is like a F235, I think, which was great because it's so bright out there, and yeah. I didn't really have filters, so. Yeah, I managed to take a roll of Delta in the town, and then did a roll of PanF myself from that same batch that you ordered. Yeah. So I wanted to do that. And then I did a roll of slightly expired slide film and a roll of Ektar. So that was kind of fun. went to the Charleston itself, and then the went down to Foley Beach, kind of shot around there.
Cool.
And this week I got some. I had a tip from the Schlem himself that he was shooting some red scale pinhole, which I've tried in the past and really hated, but I wanted to get another go. So he said that treat it like Ektar. So I had a roll of that Lomography pre-rolled stuff. They have an extended range, and they also have an older one that's just the what they call the 100. And I shot the extended roll in the Reality So Subtle 6x12.
Mm-hmm.
I really did not like that. I out of the six shots, maybe three I might use. You know, they were just the tones were not typical red scale. It just, I don't know, the way it scanned, it wasn't that those rich red tones or anything. It was kind of grainy and blotchy.
Do you think maybe it was because like the humidity is so different down here? It just
no, I don't know. When I was in Hawaii and I shot the stuff and tried to, you know, just trying to shoot it at like 50 ISO thing, I just that grain broke. It was just ugly. But gotcha. The older Lomography 100, even though it was it was expired, but in my freezer, that came out really fun. It did the typical red scale, strange tones. It was really it was more clear. I'll be posting some of those in the next couple of days. Cool. I really like that. I shot that one in the homemade Pinholga, so I really like that. And then
gotcha.
And now I'm doing the filters. I'm going to try that. I got an ND3 and I'm going to play with some Fuji Velvia in a homemade pinhole. And then I'm just playing with the Ondu with, I think I have, what do I have in that one? I think I have Rolly RPX 100 in there.
I haven't shot that yet.
That's a lot like, they said that the reciprocity is up to five, no or minimal reciprocity up to 5 minutes. Someone told me.
Oh, wow.
So it's very ACROS like. The stuff is really expensive if you buy it from the American retailers. I ordered mine from Singapore in a bulk, and I got a really good deal on sale. It was like $4 or $5 a roll.
What was it called again?
Rolly RPX. They make a 100 and they make a 25 ISO.
Wow, but that's interesting.
Yeah, I'm going to be shooting that 25. I've got a roll of 25 I'm going to be shooting soon.
So now that you've come down to the coast and you said that you use some filters, do you see why I use filters all the time?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, in Hawaii, I had that bright sunshine too. So, you know, I had to go with the lowest films I could. But now I'm going to start playing with more ND and stuff like that.
Sure.
See what I can do. Because I really love that one that, like, the fourth of the fifth images, the one you shot with, that was fantastic.
Yeah, with the oyster shells.
Yeah, so I'm definitely going to be trying more of that now, playing with the filters.
I know. Be careful if you're using that color with those neutral density filters, because that'll cause you'll get some color shifts.
Yeah, I imagine I will. I know the Ektar gets color shifts as you push farther in time. You get a blue green shift.
Right.
I'm going to try slide because this stuff I've got is expired. And if Fuji's really going to be pushing themselves out of the industry, they're the big slide people. So I want to get rid of it before next thing you know that there's no chemistry for it.
Oh, yeah. Well, you can always just cross process it, but it won't be the same as shooting it.
I want to shoot it for I'm not a real big cross processor. Maybe once in a big while. But right. If it's ridiculously expired, then I'll cross process. But sure. If I can, I try to shoot it straight.
Mr. Snaps, what have you been getting into this last week? Did you get out and get any shooting done or push any film?
Yeah, I went out over the weekend. Like to kind of go explore smaller towns, you know, particularly out towards East Texas. And I bought this Fuji 6x9, they call it Texas Leica.
Yeah.
And just absolutely love those huge negatives. And it was a, you know, particularly gloomy day. So I took a bunch of HP5 and shot a few rolls of that. And then I bought my wife a Pentax MX, but the Advance feels kind of funny. So I loaded just like a roll of Agfa Vista just to kind of, I would take the same kind of shots, you know, but just to sort of, once I finish it, you know, kind of give it, just get it developed real quick to see if the frame spacing is okay.
Yeah, sure. I bought my wife one of those recently too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Pentax.
She tends to the, she likes the manual, she likes to hand meter and use a manual camera. And she really likes the Pentax M series, you know, they're a little mm-hmm. more compact and, you know, easy to travel with. And mm-hmm. so I found her an MX from, is it Roberts Camera? Or mm-hmm. use Photo Pro, I think is what they go under. And and everything seems to work fine. It's just the Advance feels noticeably looser than kind of all the other Pentax cameras I've got. So I tested that out. And yeah, you know, the nice thing about going around in Texas is, you know, you'll find a lot of these small towns, and they just have all sorts of old signs and kind of antique shops that have great things in the windows. And you know, if they're open, you can go in, and you know, most of them don't mind if you take pictures inside. Sometimes they do, but you know, most of them don't mind, and you know, you can chat people up at that own some of these stores. And
wow,
yeah,
that's awesome. That sounds so different than what we're used to around here in the South, man. Everybody's like so on edge about, what are you doing, you know, why are you taking my picture? Why are you taking a picture of this old building? You know what I mean? Like, even if you're just standing out on the streets, they just kind of, at least I know where I'm from, it's kind of weird. I don't know. It's like, I don't even really do it much because I don't know if people just don't understand it or just not into it, or I don't know what the deal is. What about you, Mark? Do you get any?
Oh yeah. I get weirdness? Cars stop and look, give me evil stares or ask me plenty of questions, you know? So right. I've got to the point where I just point, it's a camera.
Yeah. Right. And then if you have a big giant pinhole camera, or you know, what Mr. Snap says, that big giant Fuji, then all of a sudden it's like, oh man, it's, oh, you know, then it's like, what are you doing? I know when I was at the fort the other day and I took that picture of that big cannon that I put up,
yeah,
that contact print I did. I mean, there was probably five people who walked up to me and asked me what I was doing. You know, they're like, what is that? And I was like, it's a camera. They're like, what do you mean? I'm just like, it's a pinhole camera. They just totally were just like blown away that when I showed them the back of the film holder, I'm like, okay, well, this is 5x7. So this is the size of the negative. They're like, what?
Yeah.
Seriously? You know, I'm just like, okay, this is the size of 35mm compared to it. You know, like I took my finger and just kind of like made it, you know, a little rectangle, and it's just, yeah, it's crazy. But that's nice to be able to just kind of float around out in your neighborhood, Mr. Snaps, and just yeah, kind of enjoy yourself.
Yeah, in Texas, you know, you can walk around and some people, I mean, certainly I've had cars that'll slow down and take a look, but, you know, they just kind of keep on going. And, yeah, it doesn't seem to be much of a problem. It certainly is not a problem where we've got the Dallas Photo Walk group, because I'm just, oh, it's a group of photographers that are out doing something. But even when it's just, I usually, sure, when I go shoot, it's usually I'll take one person with me. So it's either my wife, or, you know, I'll go with Mr. Holga sometimes, or, you know, one of the other, somebody else from the group. And yeah, never really gotten hassled. I think you probably, you know, you might get that more if you're on your own. But
sure,
you know, some people just kind of ask and then, you know, kind of inquire. And most of the time I've got a film camera. So, you know, I think people are, at least around here, seem to be disarmed by a film camera. I think if I had when I go out with I have a DSLR. So if I have that, I think they might wonder a bit.
Yeah.
But,
if you got an old, yeah, shiny, but, classic, yeah,
it's metal, you know, it's like, oh, you know,
yeah,
oh,
right,
you're shooting film. You're, You're harmless.
You're harmless.
I get the best response and kind of the most conversation when I take I have a Yashica mat.
Mm-hmm.
And people just light up if you've got one of those. And they'll, anybody will just stop and talk to you about, you know, what is that? And you kind of explain it to them. And I remember I took one of those to a car show and a guy kind of walked right up to me. He's like, I bought one of those, you know, during the war. I've got it somewhere in my closet.
Wow.
You know,
you should shoot it.
Sell it to me.
Yeah. Let me give you my number.
Right. Yeah, I have a TLR and people will be like, oh, my grandpa had that camera, or, you know, my great aunt had that camera, something like that.
Right.
If you want to do street shooting, that's actually one of the best cameras to take out, because people are just so interested in it. They don't, you know, they don't mind, you know, and then they come talk to you, and then you'll say, well, can I take your picture? And they're like, sure.
Yeah.
Well, you know, one of the good things about that camera is that you have to look down in it. So you're like not making eye contact with anybody.
Right. And they just look fun.
You know what I mean?
And they just don't, you know.
Yeah. You're totally like looking down into it. So you aren't even like looking at anybody. So they just don't even like stop and like say anything to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Texas is it. I will say, you know, kind of for whatever reputation Texas might have, it, people are pretty casual about that sort of thing. I also find it's, I get pretty good luck shooting on Sunday.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes a difference. I just think there's fewer people out in, it just seems to be,
Oh, yeah. It's like that around here until 12 o'clock, and then afternoon, then it's like they open the floodgates and everybody's out and about.
Church
and
let out.
Church. Yeah.
But yeah, I don't have any problems
with
that.
You guys. Yeah, well, that's good that you guys can do that, because, I mean, I'm telling you, take advantage of it, because it's not like
that. Now, you don't want to trespass in Texas. That's that is a bad idea.
Yeah, right.
You'll
get shot, huh?
That's not something I'm, you know. I'll stay on the side of the road, you know. I'm not going to hop any fences.
That's funny. Yeah, well, not only that, but if you hop any fences, there's livestock out there, right?
I mean, it depends. Like
bulls and all kinds of stuff.
You know, like, one of the things I really like to do is just drive down a back road, you know, and you'll find, you know, rundown barns or houses that have been abandoned, or, you know, factories that just nobody's there anymore. But jumping a fence, and I still am pretty leery about doing that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we had a discussion like over here at a factory or a barn, or they have these signs. It's just like police have every right to persecute on site.
Yeah, totally, man.
It's a little nerve-wracking, even if there is no fence or anything.
Yeah, even if you can just walk up to it.
Have either of you guys taken your pinhole and done, like, one of the things I've been getting into is sprocketless shooting?
I have
it. Like 35 millimeter in there?
Yes.
Yeah, I do a bit of that.
I've been really... I now I look at every medium format camera I have, and I'm like, I wonder how I could. I've got the Fuji, I've got the Ondu, I've been doing it with my Holga.
Yeah, Holga's real easy.
But I thought, man, that would be kind of fun to run, you know, a 35 millimeter.
You sound like a Holga guy. So if you're ever willing to sacrifice one of your Holgas to the pinholeness, you know, there's a lot of great instructionals online. There's some where you don't even have to, like, you just take off the lens mount. You don't have to tear it apart. I mean, nothing, no permanent damage. And then you kind of just tape on a pinhole.
Okay. Yeah.
There's some instructionals on there. I've seen, you just, you thread off the lens itself and tape in a pinhole, and you're ready to go. So that would be great for the clicks.
Yeah. The only thing about the Holga I found is you have to do something about the red window.
Yeah, well, I have some of those old kits that you like, and you can still find one if you go on eBay for like $14 from Hong Kong. they have those kits where it's a solid back window.
Okay. Yeah.
And theirs is like for a regular 35 millimeter with the sprockets covered, but all you really want is that door, you know,
right,
to put on a solid door and no light leaks. You know, I've been solid, and I bought a couple of those 3D printed spools.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That you snap on the 35 millimeter canister and it's good to go.
Yeah. I did some red scale with my Holga. I took some Kodak gold and then just re-spooled it in, you know, backwards.
Yeah.
And shot that sprocketless. And that's a lot of fun. And I thought, this might work with, you know, on 35 with red scale.
Yeah. Yeah, there's other people who do it. I mean, you've got to have whatever method you want to cover up those red windows. But I mean, I think there's guys doing it in the Reality So Subtles. There's people even trying it in the Ondus, you know. So it's just all about fun and experimentation.
Definitely.
I think I tried it in a Holga 6x9, or the what they call it, the Holga Pano, the one that you could do the 6x12 and the 6x9.
Mm-hmm.
That, yeah, I tried I think you get like 4 or 5 shots out of a roll of 36, something like that.
Wow.
But yeah, it was really long. And then scanning it was a whole lot of fun too, but...
Right.
I just really taped up that red window, and then, you know, I think you had to count a ridiculous number of clicks, like 72 clicks or something like that.
I could never do that. I always messed up.
Yeah, I don't really have great patience for it. So I think I only did 2 rolls. But yeah, I do like putting the, especially in the Holgas, I like doing the sprocketless.
I haven't done any of that yet. I need to mess with it some. I'm not a 35 millimeter fan. I'll just go ahead and say it. I'll be that guy. I don't really.
Well, it's a great way to use up your stock because you're taking large photos. You know,
sure.
Not 36 exposures. You're maybe getting 22 or 23.
No. 40, because that little point and shoot
No, I'm saying I get your 40, but I'm saying if you put it in a Holga, you're only going to get 22 or 23
exposures. Oh, yeah, sure. Well, I don't like scanning it. I don't like dealing with it either because it's like too small for me to contact print, and I don't have an enlarger for it, so I have to scan it. So if I'm putting all the energy in it to shoot it and develop it and do everything, I'm going to at least be able to get a sizable, you know, decent contact print out of it. You know what I mean?
Mm.
And I'm not really much of like the point and shoot person. Like I have that little Olympus point and shoot.
Mm-hmm.
And I do it, and I mean, it's fun to have to take pictures of my kids, you know, like semi-portraits type of thing, you know. But other than that, I don't know. It's just not my thing, man. I just can't get along with it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
We got some letters. Do you want to talk about the letters we got or the?
Yeah, we can do that. Yeah, let's go ahead and do that. Let's. Well, first, I got on Instagram, I got a message from, I'm going to say his name wrong, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Jeremy, but. Bizano, I think. He's on Instagram at Jeremy Bizano. And he sent me a message and saying that he found an app called Contrast Preview, which lets you see the effects of different filters on your phone, you know, just through your phone. So I guess it's just like you'll be using your camera, but you can dial in whatever filter you're using. I haven't gone and looked at it yet, but that sounds like something that would be pretty cool. So you can at least kind of see what's going to happen. Maybe I don't know if it gives you exposure or sets any of that up, but it's called Contrast Preview. So if you want to go check that app out, do that and go check out Jeremy. He's at Jeremy Bizano on Instagram. He has some pretty cool pinhole stuff, and he does a lot of cool work. So.
Okay. Why don't we get our other question right after the break?
Yep. All right. So, Mr. Snaps, got an email.
Okay.
I think this is the second email that we've gotten so far. And this one is from Dustin Nickerson. And he says, Corey and Mark, I caught up on the podcast Monday evening. It seems to be headed in the right direction. Great job. Thank you, Dustin. We really appreciate that.
And an idea for a podcast would be to start from the beginning and possibly explain what a pinhole camera is and the advantages and disadvantages. And of course, that one can be make that one can make one on the cheap to shoot film, paper, and other mediums. That would be really two different podcasts, I would say, cameras and then mediums. Yeah, it totally would. Another couple episodes could be on exposure calculations and even pinhole sizes and distances. The reason for the above idea would be if someone was not familiar with pinhole but was interested, the first three podcasts would have them lost, other than hearing a few of the camera manufacturers' names. I enjoyed the Filters podcast and really liked the images you uploaded to support the podcast. Corey, if you have the time, I would like some of your filter material. Dustin, you're going to get some filter material. I'm going to be sending it out this week. It's you and a couple other listeners who are going to be getting some, and I'll make sure that you get some. And we definitely, I think that's a good idea about about exposures, how we get our exposure calculations, pinhole sizes and distances. You know, what do you think, Mark?
Sure, that's a great idea.
Yeah, and Dustin, if you want to check out Dustin, he is on Instagram as One Mississip. I think that's right. O-N-E-M-I-S-S-I-S-I-P-P. One Mississip. He says, I do not have a lot of photography stuff on there, but will be headed that direction in the next few months as I finish up college. So good for you, Dustin. Finish up college and then get into photography. Totally. Then you can dedicate your life to it.
Right. One money drain at a time.
Yeah, yeah. Stack them up first, you buddy.
All right. And that kind of brings us mentioning Instagram is our segment where we bring up feeds and people we like. Do you have anyone that you're interested in right now, Corey?
Yeah, I have a lot of people. I really like the photography from someone named Lubitel 66. He does pinhole work and traditional photography also. On his page, his name is GJ Farman, so I'm not sure if I said that right, but yeah, go check him out at Lubitel 66, L-U-B-I-T-E-L 66. And the other person that I really like, his name is Martin Luddell Photography, M-A-R-T-I-N-L-U-D-L Photography. And he does 6x17 pinhole work. I'm pretty sure you're following him, aren't you, Mark?
I think I am, just recently.
Yeah, he's really good. I really like all of the everything he does. It's always really nice looking. So, what about you, Mark?
I want to bring up. There's a Russian pinhole person. They make cameras out of driftwood. And materials he finds on the beach and assembles pinhole cameras, shoots them, sells them. He's LE6EDEV_ on Instagram. He can also be found if you do like his cameras. I think he links it, but it's Driftwood Cameras on Etsy. Mm. But if you get a chance, take a look. These things, he incorporates beach glass or he wallpapers them in these really interesting tissue paper kind of stuff that he bonds to the wood, and the pinholes are really tight and very clear, not fuzzy.
Does he do driftwood pictures of like big pieces of driftwood on the beach, maybe?
Yeah, and then he usually chops those up and turns them into pinholes.
Yeah, sure. That's the guy I'm thinking about. Yeah, cool. Yeah, I like him too.
Yeah, he does a lot of work in FOMA. I think he self-develops everything like that.
Cool.
And we've mentioned him a couple times already. I wanted to bring up the Schlem with the 3D cameras. You know, he's another guy out there shooting and making cameras. So the_ S-C-H-L-E-M. And if he's listening and he wants to come on and talk, I would appreciate it.
Come on. Yeah, that'd be fun.
But yeah, he can be found on Instagram. He can be found on Twitter. He's a big person up there in the Pacific Northwest community.
I'm excited to get the camera from the Get Swap.
Yes, that is.
It's going to be coming eventually. So
I heard it's left England and on to the next stage.
On to the next stage. Cool. Mr. Snaps, do you have anybody that you like on Instagram or Flickr that inspires you and gets your mind?
For sure. I wanted to say, I saw you posted about those Driftwood cameras. They are beautiful. They're just gorgeous pieces of art in and of themselves.
So you've seen them too then, yeah.
Well, I saw it, I think it was, I don't know if it was today, I saw it, somebody was kind of doing a list.
Yeah.
You had posted it, and so I went looking for it on Etsy because I was looking at the Schlemm's, 4x5 camera that he makes.
Yeah.
I think it's like the Turtle. I think that's
Turtle or something like that. Yeah, he's got two models. Yeah.
And I was looking at that one. And then I saw you had posted that other. And so I checked those out because, 4x5, I hear 4x5 pinhole calling me. So
Do it.
If I ever learn to develop, that is my next thing.
You can do it.
Cool.
Yeah. In terms of pinhole photography, you had her on. Moni's photography is amazing.
Yeah.
Just Oregon's beautiful. And she just kind of gets these like great spots, just really kind of great angles, and I think she's even done some with like Lomachrome Purple, which is a film I really like, and do a lot of Holga stuff with the Lomachrome Purple.
Yeah, she gets the down low on the good spots because I think she runs a lot.
Yes.
So she's like always probably seeing spots, out and about.
Right. Right.
And like you mentioned earlier, she's great at capturing those low angles or something kind of a different perspective. So
she was doing some shots in her hammock.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely.
I think in terms of like, he doesn't shoot pinhole, but there's a local guy named Troy Bradford and, he does great portraiture with pretty much any camera he shoots.
Right.
He posts a lot of shots with his Hasselblad or with large format, and it's typically black and white film. And he did the new 55 stuff for a while. So he's sort of a local guy I want to give a shout out to. His stuff is really, really nice and crisp. And he just kind of gets great, sort of a great sense of the person. He does a really good job with that. And there's always like a little bit of a story, about kind of what was going on when he took the picture.
I like those kind with the story.
Yeah. And then this is more of a general, just to kind of support film photography, but there's a hub on Instagram called Photo Filmy. They just will feature 35 and 120 and all sorts of like film photographers. And it's just sort of a nice way to get exposed to like just a bunch of different photographers on Instagram. And it's, it's a film only hub.
I think I'm following them actually.
Yeah. They've got, they just feature some really great, great stuff.
Cool. Definitely. Sure. Well, do you want to have anything that you want to, how people can find you, Mr. Snaps, or the Dallas information for the Dallas Walk, or
So for my own personal photography, I'm on Instagram at @mark_snaps, and same with Twitter, same handle, and I do some Flickr. I'm not sure what to do with Flickr, but I do have.
Nobody does.
I think I came in kind of late to the Flickr game and
me too.
I do have that as a Flickr handle as well. And then I manage the Dallas Photo Walk Instagram account, where I'll just you know, showcase kind of what pictures people have taken during our walks. But if you want to kind of see what goes on with Dallas Photo Walk, we have the best place is probably the Facebook. We have Dallas Photo Walk on Facebook, and that's sort of where we post announcements and, you know, talk about what's going on and what events are coming up. And we'll even plug, you know, other events. Like, for example, we have a quarterly photo swap meet, you know, at the Dallas Center of Photography, you know, and awesome. Mr. Holgo usually gets a table, and so we'll plug stuff like that and kind of what's going on locally.
Those are great. Yeah. I love seeing pictures from that. All those cameras.
I want to go to a camera swap meet, man. There's nothing like that around here. I think I'm going to have to start like road tripping big time.
Oh yeah. It's a lot of fun, and you get to see all manner of cameras. If there was ever something where like, you know, I've never seen one of those in person, you know, the Dallas Center of Photography, those swap meets, if you go enough times, you'll find something you've never seen before.
Cool.
Yeah. And see kind of in person, and they'll let you handle it and stuff like that. So
right on.
But yeah, we have a Facebook page and a Twitter account where we'll post, you know, kind of what's going on. And yeah, feel free to check us out. We do a photo walk, like I said, every couple of months, but we do some in between, just sort of on an impromptu basis.
That's cool. Awesome. 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 Okay. Well, I think that's going to wrap it up for us, for this show. If you want to get a hold of me, I'm on Instagram at Pinhole Cannon, and also on Instagram at The Lensless Podcast. And email wise, you can get us at thelenslesspodcast@yahoo.com. If you have any questions, any suggestions, or you want to come on and talk with us, let us know. We would love to have you come on and talk cameras and pinhole with us.
And you can find me at Three Eyed Monster on Twitter, Instagram, and Flickr. Yeah. I'd like to say thank you to Mr. Snaps for coming on. Yeah. Your guests. We really Thanks appreciate so much. It.
Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, that was fun.
Definitely.
And I want to say, before we get off, I want to make sure that I said this right. But go check out Jeremy Bizano, JeremyBizano on Instagram. I don't think I said that before, but he has a really cool page, and he does lots of cool photography. And if you want any filter material, let me know. I'm going to send out a package next week, actually. I'm going to send them all out at the same time. So you got a couple of days. So if you want some of that red, yellow, and green filter materials, gels to buy with your pinholes, send me a message or an email and give me your address, and you're going to get one. So I'll be waiting to hear from you. All right. Cool.
Thank
you. Well, have a great week, everybody. And thanks again, Mr. Snaps. And we'll talk to y'all later.
All right. Bye now. Bye.